straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
Just when you thought it was safe to come out of the water, no, we're back. Two podcasts in 1 week. We hit you hard with Chris Bosch, and we're going higher today. Super Regional Saturday, Texas v. South Florida. Longhorn coach David Pierce is joining us. Before we do it, I got to pay some bills, Duck. Thank you for joining us on Second Thought. Hook'em.com, Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden. He's Kirk Bowles. And this is David Pierce. Two wins away from the College World Series. Coach, how you doing?
Oh, doing great, man. Good to be on. Love talking to you and Kirk. Just hanging out and talking baseball, talking Texas baseball, and just really excited for our kids.
Just the time of year, and boy, what a great weekend. I mean, you know, you guys just sweep through the Austin Regional, never trailing a game, and the crowds were fantastic, weren't they?
I mean, you piece all that together, and I think we did a great job of just putting our head down and playing. And, you know, what I was impressed with is just we have two veterans that have ever played in postseason baseball, so we have a lot of young nerves. Mm-hmm. And they just went out there and trusted themselves, trusted each other, and trusted their work and went and competed. And, I mean, when you look at, from my perspective, and you see that kind of reaction and not really phased from the crowd, they just fed off of it the right way as opposed to, you know, being nervous. And I'm sure there were butterflies. I have butterflies playing games, and I know if they didn't have butterflies, it'd be something wrong. But, you know, that just means you're ready and it means something to you.
I was just cool to see, just cool to see all the people, and they were raucous. And I was watching on TV, and whenever a reliever would come in, that wild bunch down the third base line, they were getting after him. It's what it's all about, man. It is all about.
We got some salty veteran fans for sure.
God, they're old, too. They were so old. Shout out to Occupy Left Field as well.
Okay, yeah. So what I was going to say is we have some salty veterans, but we've got a lot more young folks showing up. I mean, a lot more younger people, and they're excited. And then you, Occupy Left Field, they got their own little supply and demand down there.
Amazing. So, they're amazing.
Yeah, and then you piece it all together, and it was loud. It was awesome. Our kids loved it.
Well, like you say, you feed off of it. And it seemed like every game you guys were up 5-0, 6-0. The last game, it was, 10-0 after like three or four innings. So it's not supposed to be that easy in a regional. And the way you guys just kind of mentally flushed the Big 12 conference tournament, you know, didn't play perfect baseball and then just come out and put on a show like that. You got to like the leadership of your team, I guess, from your staff and some of the older players, I guess.
There's no doubt. I mean, you just look back at how this team got to this point, and it's not because of any kind of magic dust. It's because they've learned how to work. They've learned how to enjoy the grind of working and the preparation and the ins and outs of their own little craft, you know. And then you see them work with each other and talk about grips and talk about, you know, swing paths and listen to the coaches and their one-on-one time. And it's just been a constant. It hasn't been anything where you took a step back and go, hey, we need to fix this. We're not perfect. We're constantly, I mean, we're in the cages today, and it's Wednesday before the Super, and we feel like we can get better. And, you know, I think I was most impressed offensively that we just, especially with young players, you try to do too much and start forcing at bats. And, you know, the patience, you can look at it from both perspectives. If you're the pitching coach and you're giving up free passes, you have a perspective. If you're the team that's the recipient of them, then you feel like you earned them. And I really felt like our team could have gone out of the zone a little bit more and gotten impatient. But they're willing to pass that baton to the next hitter and just trying to keep build 90s after 90s and, you know, then come up with a big hit. So it's a great formula, but we've got to also be prepared when people start just pounding the zone on us and staying in the middle of the field and getting good pitches to hit.
Well, these South Florida Bulls come in here 31-28. They won the AAC tournament just to get into the NCAAs. They go out there and they beat Miami. They beat Florida. They come out of that Gainesville region over South Alabama. To me, I know they're 31-28, but David, that doesn't matter right now. They're hot. They've won 9 of 11 games. So what's your mindset coming in here? Because I know the numbers don't look great, but the only thing that really matters is they're coming in here with a lot of confidence.
I mean, for us, for them, I mean, we talk about, you know, you're in the postseason, there's a clean slate. It doesn't matter what you did back in March. It doesn't matter what you did in April. They did a great job of winning that tournament. I played in that tournament or coached in that tournament 2 years in a row. And this year, the AAC is really good. And you look at East Carolina, Tulane had a solid year. Up and down, that Cincinnati's a pesty team. And then, you know, Central Florida, those guys can play. And to come out of that tournament, I'm not sure what their seed was going into it, but they weren't the favorite. So they win that. They earn the right to go to the Gainesville Regional as a 4 seed and basically dominated it. They have one hiccup against South Al, and that's it. So when you start breaking their team down, they're pitching completely different and better than they were back in March when they played Texas Tech and got swept. Offensively, they're running in some balls and hitting with some power right now. And when you start piecing those things together, all of a sudden, you know, your defense improves, your plate discipline improves. You build this confidence that you're somewhat invincible. I don't think that they have any thought of being intimidated coming to the dish because they just left the preseason number one team in the country was Florida. They just left and won that regional. So they got to feel great about coming in here. There's not a team of the 16 left that don't have confidence. You know, everybody feels like they're ready to advance. So how do we handle that? We get in trouble if we start trying to play the big picture. We've been very, very good at putting our heads down and playing the game and not being distracted. And that was a part of our conversation this morning. And, you know, this is something I learned from my brother-in-law back in the old Super Bowl days, is that handle all the family domestic distractions right now. And when it comes to tickets, when it comes to where people are going to stay, let your mother take care of that. Let your dad take care of that. Let your girlfriend, if that's who's running the show. But you don't need to do it. Or if you are, get it done by today. And now let's start working our funnel of getting ourselves ready to play.
So Gary Kubiak's your source. He's your, gonna give you.
He was my source on that. It's just one of those things I banked and go, that makes a lot of sense.
It Houston does. Get St. That Pius. All the way. Yep. Represent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So looking at this weekend, you switched your rotation last week, went with Tristan Stevens, which I applaud and thought was just very smart. Now do you go back to your regular Big 12 rotation with Ty at the start? Or you stick with what got you out of the regional and go with Tristan on Saturday night?
No, I think you go back because now we're back to a 3-game series with one team.
Right.
And so there's not a fourth game. There's not a fifth game.
Right.
And so when you look at it, you're back to your regular rotation of Ty, Stevens, and Hanson. So we'll go back. I think the reason, and I think we discussed a little bit of why we went to Hanson first. He's one of the best number twos in the country, for one, and had no reservation of him competing and beating Southern in that first game. But I felt like he had the best ability on the back end to potentially bounce back. I mean,
you said Tristan. You mean Tristan, not Pete.
Tristan.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I say Ty?
Yeah, you said Hanson. Yeah.
Oh, Hanson. Tristan has the best ability to bounce back. He can throw you know, 6-7 innings and 80 pitches. So I just felt like he gave us the best option if we had to go deeper into the tournament.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. Oh, go ahead, Doug. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was thinking it didn't even really almost need relief pitchers. You guys, your starting three were just so dominant and everything. Is it how would you look at their lineup? You mentioned power. I think they got three guys hitting, you know, 11, 12 home runs or a little more. Are they right, left? Do they run very much? And what are your pitchers going to have to do to kind of hold them down?
It's interesting because they're not a big running team. I've played there in South Florida in the past, and I feel like it's a pretty offensive park. And so what I do is I do a stat comparison every time we get ready to play an opponent. It just it gives me a good feel of, all right, I know our team and where we are. So then I just do a comparison and then look at schedules. And you look at 55 home runs, we've hit 62. That's pretty solid. So then you look at who's hot. You've got Lane has got 11 home runs. You've got Hogan that's got 12. And then you got Pena that's got 12. So they're not accidentally running into some balls. I mean, they're going to home plate to do damage. So I think on the flip side of that, you have to be very good with location. And that's been Tristan and Pete's strength, is location. Then you, even if you're a power guy, you're going to have to locate. But Ty's a little different than those two when it comes to how he attacks. But our success has been applying pressure. And when I say that, everybody initially thinks the running game. But I like to think in terms of applying pressure offensively, going first to third, scoring from second, taking advantage of what the defense gives you, if that's the drag, if that's, you know, some way we can get an edge. And then defensively, can we make them feel like we have 12 defenders on the field? We want to smother them. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is just beat them up with strikes. Make them earn it. And if you can do that consistently, which Pete and Tristan have just been tremendous at, then you have a defense like ours. I mean, it just puts a lot of pressure on guys to have to, you know, earn every single thing they get. And that's kind of been the plan, and it's been executed. Ty's got such a powerful arm that, you know, you can cheat and run into one, but if he stays ahead and counts, he can really do some damage on the mound for us.
Well, you know, I'm nostalgic. Back in 03, I was in my second year as the Texas baseball beat writer, and you were an assistant on that Wayne Graham 2003 Rice team that beat the defending national champion Longhorns, knocked them out of Omaha. And, man, that pitching staff, Jeff Niemann, the Yeti, big 6'9 guy with the gas, Wade Townsend from Dripping Springs, more gas, 98, Philip Umber, who threw a perfect game in the major leagues, and then a guy no one ever talks about, David Ardsma, who was great. You guys had an embarrassment of riches on that pitching staff. I see some similarities. Now, those guys were all first-round picks, so don't get – I'm not trying to say these guys that you have are on that level, but you know, Ty Madden can throw it with anybody. But the contributions you're getting from these guys, very similar to what you got at Rice.
Well, I think those three – we called them the big three, and they were the number three, the number four, and the number eight pick in the 04 draft.
Insane.
To go along with that was a pretty good defense and offense, but there's a missing link there that David Ardsma was the closer, was a first rounder in 03, the year we won it.
Yes.
But there was one other little piece there, and everybody forgets this guy. It's Josh Baker. And Josh Baker was our number four starter that threw a lot of Sundays because we'd utilize Wade on Tuesdays against Texas, A&M, all those Power Five type schools.
Great schedule and that then, year. Yeah.
But the other piece is that we would rotate some of those guys. So if Niemann had to come in relief on a Tuesday, Umber would be the Friday night starter. Niemann would bump to Saturday. And we just kind of kept that rotation because we truly only used maybe eight, but really seven guys the entire year. And we had one left-hander. Right now, we have one left-hander out of the bullpen, and then Pete. And so I think that's awesome that you look at this group like that. They were a very powerful three. This is a very unique three that pitches in different ways. Mm-hmm. But then I think we touched on it a little bit, and I think it's worthy to talk about Quintanilla, Nixon, Witt, and Gordon. They've kind of been the foundation of that bullpen, and they're starting – you know, at the beginning of years, which every year, everybody wants to know who's going to be the starters. What about this guy in the pen? How do you plan on utilizing them? And I always say it evolves, and it really does. I mean, now Witty has kind of just evolved into the guy that's going to follow Madden on Friday night. Potentially Cole, if the matchup is different, then the other one follows Tristan. And that's what happened in the regional. We were – Ty was good for six. Woody finished it with three. You'd like to have Nixon in there and when that opportunity is, but I really like finishing with Witt. But then you got Cole who, I mean, if Cole's confident and he frees that arm up, he can throw it as well as anyone. And he sold that on Sunday.
98.
We were able to get him in the eighth and Nixon in the ninth just to get, you know, opportunity to be in that environment for preparation for this weekend.
Are of those guys in the pen, Dave, you know, Tanner Witt likes, I'm not saying he's a Ty Madden clone or anything, but God, his mechanics look so good. And he just looks like a starting pitcher. I would assume, is there a chance he could be, you know, one or two, you know, next year?
Oh yeah. Starting? That's kind of the intent. The intent right. is for him to finish in the role that he's in this year,
right?
Which he could go for a short start if we had to, but really we like him in the role. The thing that the pivotal piece was who was going to take the role of Tristan Stevens from previous years of coming in when it's not very pretty. It's got first and second, nobody out. Second and third in and out. Who's going to be able to step into that environment and handle it? And so that was a big pivotal question mark of whether Tristan's going to be able to start. We felt like Tristan could handle the start, but who could handle his role was the key.
Right.
And Tristan earned the right to start, but we needed to piece it all together. And Witt's got ice in his veins. I mean, he's just tougher than else. And he doesn't let much – I mean, for such a young kid, I haven't seen any chinks in his armor so far. I mean, as far as his mentality. And then you see the same thing with Nixon, and Gordon builds around that. And I think Cole has grown so much when it comes to mentality and believing in himself. And then this whole group then starts competing against each other. And that's when it gets fun.
Right. And as far as you know, the fans, all the games are sold out already. It's just, you know, just going to be a super atmosphere. That place is just going to be jumping. At this stage, you don't really need too many pep talks, do you? You know, like you say, they trust themselves and the process, right?
Yeah, I think more than anything is to just go play with the instincts and don't get robotical and don't start overthinking things. And we've had our exact routine this week as far as what we do on each day of practice. And Zubio was reading the schedule to me the other day, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. And he goes – and I told him it's a game of repetition. And so we don't really venture away from, you know, the X's and O's of just playing the game and trying to do something that may come up occasionally. Let's be really good at catching it and throwing it, situational offense and throwing a lot of strikes.
And do you call Tim Tadlock? Do y'all share information as conference brethren, or how does that work?
I mean, I call a lot of people throughout the country, and I was in the AAC, and it's kind of an unwritten rule, or actually in the Big 12, we're not supposed to share on each other, but my rule has always been I will give information to anybody in the country except on any Big 12 school. I think that's my ethical duty to say, this is our conference and this is how I'm going to handle it. Whether people are giving information out on me, that's mm-hmm. their prerogative. They can do it. But I just have always felt like that's the ethical thing and that's what we do. But there's people all over the country that have played South Florida that I'll get information from. And really, there's so much film. I don't need somebody to give me a scouting report. I just like to get a feel of how a coach likes to work. You know, do they like to take the extra base? Will they run in front of you? And even now, you can see so much on film because we have synergy and it just gives you so much information.
Is there one thing?
There won't be anything that they don't know about us and we don't know about them.
Yeah.
And we're more scouted than anybody in the country. What's that?
About South Florida more. I wonder if there's one thing that jumps out at you about South Florida more than anything else.
I think the most improved part of their team is their starting pitching and their pitching. You know, we talk about the back end of our bullpen and how it's evolved. I think they're experiencing somewhat of the same thing. You know, the left-hander Lyle, he knows his role. He's going to come in, he's going to face two left-handers. And then they're going to go to Burns. And so they kind of know their role. And I think that's important for kids. But mm-hmm. it looks to me that they're catching the ball and they're really pitching at a higher level than they were early in the year. And then watching their bat speed and their swings, they're not doing a lot of bunting. I mean, they swing for it. So
they're not getting cheated.
Be good with location. No, they don't get cheated. That's true. Mm-hmm. They have some strikeouts in there, though.
Do they? Well, I imagine you'll find a few. So hey, we appreciate you being on. You know,
man, we do. This is fun. It's going to be fun. I'm fully vaccinated, but I hadn't darkened the doors of the dish in the postseason. But my big butt's going to be rolling in one of these two nights. Kirk and I haven't even decided which ones we're riding. I think I might want that I'll take the Saturday one, Duck. You take the Sunday one, so you can write about.
We both want to be out there, though.
Oh, we're going to be out there. If Kevin Rodriguez can allow us in there, you know, we've had our battles with Kevin. I mean, he didn't have your watch party online. We had to blast him for that.
Well, hey. You guys have the ability to blast when blast is needed. Okay, so thanks for having me. The dish is going to be rocking. It's going to be the place to be this week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So pumped up for our fans, our fan base, our players. Just hopefully we go out there and enjoy it, let it fly.
Well, you've had a fantastic year, Coach of the Year, much deserved, and just keep on rolling.
And for the fans, Texas, South Florida, 8 p.m. Saturday at the Dish, ESPNU, if you're watching at the house, 104.9 The Horn with Greg Way and Roger Wallace, or TexasSports.com. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, ESPNU or the Deuce. It's a sellout, but they said there might be a few straggling tickets out there if you want to hit that box office. Good luck with that. We're credentialed. We don't care. And we're going to be there. David, thank you so much, man, and good luck this weekend.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Hook 'em.
See you, David.
Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Well, Duck, we talked to David Pierce, and he's excited about this matchup coming up. But, yeah, our people out there going, oh, who are the South Florida Bulls? I was like, hell if I know. Let's find out somebody. Let's find somebody who knows a little bit about them. Joey Knight of the Tampa Bay Times has covered this team. I know he's busy with Tampa Bay Bucks and minicamp, but he's taking some time out to join us to talk a little baseball. How you doing, Joey?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a joy to be with you guys today.
I guess Tom Brady is just – he's not 24-7 job duty, he's like 23.5-7, right? So
he's 24-7.
Well, if he's not throwing the trophy in the bay or something like that. So
or drinking avocado tequila, something always come.
You got it. You got it. Well, I know you dabble and you have a lot of balls in the air, and one of them is the USF Bulls are in their super regional for the first time. How would you just kind of size up the team in general, Joey? Are you surprised they're still playing this late in the year?
No question. You know, Bulls fans have had fun with a hashtag, not a very good team, because they heard a commentator either during the conference tournament or the Gainesville regional say, this is not a very good team. And a month ago, they were not. They were 20-22. And I got to level with you, fellas. I was a little concerned about Billy Mull's job. Billy's here at USF. He inherited a very good team from Mark, South Carolina now. And in 2018, Billy took them to the NCAA tournament. 2019, they fell on their face. They didn't even qualify for the American Athletic Conference tournament. And when you got it, when you're a baseball program in Tampa, in the state of Florida, you know, Tampa is a baseball factory. That's just simply unacceptable. So I really thought Billy was treading on thin ice after 2019. And then 2020, as we know, was a wash. And then this year, they just started out very inconsistently. They were 20-22 a month ago today.
Amazing.
Their veteran catcher, Jake Sullivan, said, when we were hitting, we weren't playing defense. When we were playing defense, we weren't pitching well. We just couldn't put it all together. And this is just a classic story of a team that just started clicking and putting things together at the right time. And when you do that, you develop confidence. They won their conference tournament as a sixth seed, and they went into the Gainesville Regional very confident. And you saw that they've got some good pitching. They've got some guys who can hit. They've got some veteran players at some key spots, you know, particularly catcher. And they got a kid named Jarrett Eaton in the outfield who's a transfer from Auburn. They've got some guys who played a lot of baseball. It was just a matter of putting it all together. And they did at their conference tournament in Clearwater. And now they're just, I think they're just a very confident baseball team. They're not only clicking, confident.
Yeah, it's good to see Billy Moe bounce back. We talked to David Pierce, the Texas coach, and, you know, it doesn't really matter that they started 20-22, or what matters now is they kicked the crap out of Miami, Florida, and USA, and now they're 9-2 in their last 11 games. How much belief do you see when you talk to these guys? Because they, from where they've been, they have to be on a real high coming into this thing.
They're on top of the world. This program has been to 13 previous NCAA tournaments, but they've never been to a super regional. And it's like, you know, Jake Sullivan, the veteran catcher, I'll quote him again. He said, we feel like we can play with anybody.
Love it.
And they've got players on this team. I mentioned Jarrett Eaton, Jake Sullivan. They've got a kid named Carmine Lane, who's just been hitting the you-know-what out of the ball the entire postseason. They've got pitchers. You'll see a closer named Orion Kirkering, who has got just incredible stuff, off-speed stuff. And when he's on and he's on the mound for that team, they can compete with anybody. They've got two or three pitchers like that. And I really believe at this stage, you know, when you're playing with confidence, you can't get here if you can't play well. They're playing well. But when you combine that with playing with confidence, I think anything can happen. Now, I know they're walking into a totally different environment this weekend. Their conference tournament was in Clearwater in their backyard, and there was hardly anyone there. And I don't think the Gainesville Regional was very well attended. So they're going to be in for a little bit of a culture shock. And I'll tell you what, they're going to come in with their heads high and believing they can do this.
And sound like they got some pop in their bat. I know David Pierce said they got about three guys that hitting 11 or 12 home runs each. Are they legitimate power hitters, you think? They could probably hit it out of any park, because he said their park's pretty big there.
It is a big ballpark. It's kind of new. It's something they've put in the last decade. I wouldn't say they're in generally a powerful team. They are capable. And again, they're just putting the ball in play and hitting well. I would say the one to watch, you know, would be Carmine Lane. I won't say a DH type, but kind of a first base type, kind of a tall kid like that. Jarrett Eaton, who just had a tremendous Gainesville Regional, had three hits in the do or die winner take all game against a very good South Alabama team. Jake Sullivan can hit the ball very well. Riley Hogan, another guy kind of like Carmine Lane, a rangy kid who's capable of hitting the ball. So if you're looking for offensive guys to keep an eye out for, Carmine Lane, Riley Hogan, Jarrett Eaton. I may have been mistaken on the position that Carmine Lane plays, but he'll be at the top of the batting order. I can.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't think they'll be intimidated, do you? I mean, no. At this stage, you know, what you, like said, I mean, you're winning, you're hot right now. You know, let it loose. You got nothing to lose, right?
Nothing to lose. They're going to come in here and have fun. I'm sure that's going to be Billy Moll's message. Hey, guys, nobody expected us to be here. We've got nothing to lose. Let's go out and have fun. Let's play the game we grew up loving. That's why we're here. We love baseball. Let's just go play the game we love and have fun and enjoy and embrace this atmosphere.
Well, Dish Falk Field is one of the hallowed halls of college baseball. It's right there with Alex Box Stadium, Bomb in Arkansas, Sunken Diamond at Stanford. And I've been to all of those. And there were almost 7,000 fans last week for the regional. Are the guys talking about the atmosphere that they're going to see? And also getting to come to a cool city that's Austin. Are they talking about that? And also being on national television, who would have thought that a month ago?
I think they're embracing all that. They didn't talk a whole lot about that right after winning the Gainesville Regional. They were just more in the moment. They were intoxicated in that moment. But I think they're looking forward to all that. I really think this is a team that's just embracing the moment. And again, like I told Kirk, just, you know, playing, they're going to come in, I think, playing very loose and enjoying the moment. But I'll tell you this, they have not been in an atmosphere like they're going to see. I would think the closest thing they've seen in their conference is East Carolina, which is also playing in a super regional. Nothing else really comes close. They played like some midweek games against the University of Florida in the past, but that's certainly not before 7,000 people. You know, they've gone up to the Tallahassee and played FSU late in the Mike Martin tenure, but nothing like they're going to see, you know, this weekend and prime time on ESPN2. I believe it starts out, or ESPNU against Texas. But again, I really think they're going to have fun. I think they're going to embrace it. They're looking forward to it.
I think they'll like it. And it's a good baseball crowd too, Joey. They applaud, you know, the great defensive play that an opponent made. Center fielder, who was that, said? Was it Fairfield? I can't remember who.
Yeah, he was putting on a show, yeah.
Yeah, he just made all these diving catches, and he'd come back in the dugout, and the Texas crowd would just almost give him a standing ovation. So I do think they'll appreciate it. It's a very knowledgeable baseball crowd. Like you say, Tampa is a very baseball-centric city. So I do think they will appreciate the moment. And I don't know, what's the highlight in USF athletic history?
Iron Charlie Strong, come on.
I said highlights.
Too soon.
Here's a little point of trivia, and you may see this kid this weekend. They've got a sixth-year senior pitcher named Dylan Burns. And how old is Dylan Burns? His debut as a USF Bull, Willie Taggart was still the football coach.
So Dylan Burns'
tenure precedes Charlie Strong's tenure. Dylan Burns.
How old is Dylan?
He's 30? A sixth-year senior, so last year didn't count. And, you know, right, he came back. So I guess he's 22 or 23 or something. Yeah.
Do they call him coach?
They call him grandpa.
I guess so. But you asked me high point of USF athletics. You know, they've had their football moments. They were number two in the old BCS in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
They
really good.
West Virginia and Auburn back-to-back. And then
who was that quarterback? I remember. What was the quarterback?
Matt Grothy.
Oh, my.
Matt
really
Grothy.
Good. Yes. There really good. Go. Really good.
And other than that, the softball team made the College World Series in 2012, and their coach is Ken Erickson, the current U.S. Olympic coach. So they've got a very good softball program. So this will be the schools. They're seeking the school's second World Series berth, if you count softball.
Oh, absolutely. Got to count softball.
Absolutely.
Well, Joey, man, thanks so much for joining us. We know you're busy and
this has been fun.
This has been great. Giving us a look at South Florida, and check out his stuff at the Tampa Bay Times. Follow him on Twitter at TB
Times _Bulls
at TB Times _Bulls. His stuff is good. your life didn't really suck. I mean, you get to cover Tampa Bay and then the Super Bowl's in your backyard last year.
And I tell you, I've never experienced I'm born and raised in the Tampa Bay area. I've never experienced a run like this in my life, and I never will. When you talk about the Lightning, Stanley Cup champions, look like they're going to win it again. Rays made the World Series, best record in baseball. And Tom Brady coming back for it. I've never seen a run like this again, and I never will again.
Hey, just ride that wave, man. Ride it.
It's not forever. Enjoy it while it's here. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I hear you.
Thank you, brother, man. And good luck to you the rest of the way. And we'll be reading your stuff.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Joey.
Appreciate you being with us. Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Doug, great stuff from David Pierce. Great stuff from Joey Knight. We have primed you for the Super Regional here at Dish Falk Field. All that's left is the baseball, and we will see you at the park. That will do it for episode 225 of On Second Thought. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.